Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we dig into the nitty-gritty of fascinating topics. Today, we're taking a deep dive into the Roberts Lab at the University of Washington, and we're doing that through the lens of their handbook.
It's more than just a rule book, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's like a window into their whole approach to science. Everything from, like, groundbreaking research to how they actually build their research culture.
And they're known for being incredibly transparent, which this handbook really embodies.
Yeah, it's refreshing. Yeah. And speaking of refreshing, I have to ask you about this freezer alarm situation.
Oh, yes.
So they have, like, a dedicated alarm for their ultra-low temperature freezers, right?
Yeah.
But there's this 15-minute delay before anyone actually gets notified if it goes off.
Can you imagine? It's like a slow-motion heart attack for a researcher.
Right. All those precious samples. I'd be a wreck.
It really highlights the fragility of these biological materials they're working with. RNA, proteins, these things have to be stored at, like, negative 80 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
Even a short power outage could be disastrous.
So is that delay like a safety net to give the system a chance to recover?
Exactly. It's a calculated risk. They're trying to balance preventing false alarms while also, you know, protecting those invaluable research materials.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And it seems like that emphasis on meticulousness, on minimizing risk, it really comes through in the whole handbook, especially when they talk about lab safety and chemicals.
It's serious business.
Right. Like with Arnizol RT, they're very clear about it being corrosive, potentially harmful if you inhale it, even disposing of it. It's a whole multi-step process.
Well, they're dealing with some pretty potent stuff. It underscores their dedication to, you know, not just scientific rigor, but the actual well-being of their researchers.
Absolutely. It's like they're creating an environment where cutting-edge science can happen, but it can happen safely.
Safety first.
Yeah.
And that meticulousness, that doing things by the book, it goes beyond just lab safety, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's woven into their whole research philosophy, which makes you wonder, if they're this careful with safety, how does that translate to, say, data management or collaboration?
Good question. And as luck would have it, that's exactly what we're going to be digging into in the rest of this deep dive. You know, it's funny you should mention that, because the next thing that really struck me about this handbook was their code of conduct.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Well, for one, it's incredibly detailed, even for, like, their diversity, equity, and inclusion meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't always see that level of, I don't know, formality in a lab handbook.
What kinds of things are we talking about here?
They have these great phrases like elevate impact above intent and expect and accept non-closure, like really specific guidelines.
Huh. It sounds like they're trying to foster a very specific kind of research environment.
Right. One where people feel comfortable admitting they don't know everything, which, let's be honest, is most of the time in research, right?
Oh, absolutely. Science is all about embracing uncertainty. But it takes a certain culture to really allow for that.
Totally. And it seems like they're putting a lot of emphasis on making sure everyone feels heard and respected, especially in those DEI meetings.
Well, and that makes sense, right? If you want to have those tough conversations about diversity and inclusion, you need to create a space where people feel safe to speak their minds.
Yeah. No, you're right. It all ties together. And then there's this whole thing about mentorship. They really encourage lab members to have multiple mentors, not just one.
That's interesting. Most labs I've seen, it's pretty standard to have one primary mentor.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really unique. It kind of speaks to this idea of providing a well-rounded experience, right?
Absolutely. Different mentors bring different perspectives, different areas of expertise. It can really enrich a researcher's training.
Okay, so we've got meticulous safety protocols, a very deliberate approach to their lab culture. But we also know they're dealing with a massive amount of data. Like, their handbook mentions Nightingale for sequencing, this whole network-attached storage system called Gannet.
Don't forget the supercomputer. MOX, was it?
Oh, right. MOX. I mean, it's a lot.
It really makes you wonder how they manage it all.
It's a data tsunami. How do they keep from drowning?
Well, for one thing, they're incredibly organized, like religiously organized.
Give me the details.
Think detailed metadata for every single experiment, strict folder structures on their network. They even have README files.
README files for every folder, seriously.
Seriously. And it's all part of this commitment to open science. They want their research to be accessible, transparent.
So anyone could theoretically go in and understand their data, their methods.
That's the idea. It's about breaking down those silos, you know,
mm-hmm.
fostering collaboration, avoiding unnecessary redundancy, ultimately speeding up discoveries.
It's kind of inspiring, actually. It's like they're playing the long game, advancing science as a whole, not just their own work.
Exactly.
But okay, even with perfect organization, all that data analysis, it's got to be intense. They mentioned Jupyter Notebooks in the handbook.
Right, and Mox, the supercomputer. And they even talk about using, like, the command line.
Hardcore. So they're not messing around.
Well, they're equipping their researchers with a seriously powerful toolkit. But it goes beyond just the tech. They even recommend this book, Getting Things Done.
Time management.
Time management. It's all about efficiency. They don't just give them the tools. They give them the training, the resources to actually use them well.
It's like they've thought of everything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop there. They have a whole section on conferences, funding opportunities, even like travel grants.
They want their researchers to be well-rounded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just stuck in the lab, but out there presenting, collaborating, getting their work funded.
It's impressive, I have to say. Looking at the Roberts Lab this way, through their handbook, you really get a sense of the thoughtfulness, the care that goes into building a successful research environment. It's not just about, you know, the results, the discoveries. It's the people, the culture.
And that commitment to moving science forward in a way that's open and collaborative, it's really something. Makes you wonder what they'll accomplish, what amazing discoveries are on the horizon for them.
It does, doesn't it? And that's something to ponder as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of the Roberts Lab. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.